Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos on this Tuesday. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at 11 o'clock from Bridgestone Arena at Pete and Terry's Tavern. So looking forward to that. But right now we go to our phone line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com and say hello to one of my favorites, one of our favorites, forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders with us. Chris, happy new year, my friend.
Champion, you too, man. How you doing? You doing all right over there?
Doing
always good to hear from you.
Doing fantastic. Good to have you on our new show.
Thank you so much.
With Michelle. And
how you doing, Michelle?
Doing well, Chris. Happy New Year. Thanks
good,
for hopping
good.
On.
Hey. Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So I don't know why I thought of you, but I do know why. It's because you're always thoughtful and
when you're
talking about football and a game that you spent a majority of your life around, you're very passionate about it. And when when the DeMar Hamlin situation happened last night, I have no idea if you've ever been in anything like that before as a player or as a coach or what have you. But I immediately said to myself, okay, I want Chris's thoughts on this. A scary situation, Chris, and it was hard to watch. You feel for obviously not only DeMar Hamlin, but T. Higgins, who was a part of the play, and the rest of the players
absolutely.
In that game, because it's not something that's in your playbook when you sign up to be a football player.
It's tough, and that's a great question. But here's what I want the listeners to understand. Here's what I want people to really, really listen to what I'm about to say. That we got to understand something. That every time we take the field, every time we take a game, we put our life at risk. And a lot of times, when your favorite team doesn't win or your favorite fantasy guy doesn't win or you booing people at the stadium, that hurts because we're putting our life at risk to make you happy. And I'm not trying to preach or anything. It says this. It says, there's no greater love than a one that will lay down his life for the ones that he loves. And the one thing we got to understand, these guys on the field, they love their parents. They love their fans. They love everything. So when they get on the field, they're saying with their play, that they love you. And I think sometimes when a situation happens like this, we all come together and we mourn for a quick second, and then we go about our lives. We say, we say things, on Instagram, and we say things on the Facebook, and then after a couple of days, it goes away. Just kind of like the situation with Ryan Shazier when he got hurt, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also Ryan Clark, after they got hurt, a couple of weeks later, it just goes away. So I think we can take this as a learning thing, even though it's a scary situation, even though you look at the situation, it's like, wow, this is really scary. Don't let it just stay there. Learn from the situation. Understand that when these guys, including myself when I used to play there, we're taking a risk for the organization. We're taking a risk for our families. We're taking a risk for you. We're taking a risk when you want your fantasy points. So understand that we're human. We hurt. We have pain. We go through trials and tribulations. We go through hurt, all this stuff. So the next time Ryan Tannehill doesn't throw that perfect pass or Bullock doesn't make that perfect kick or Derrick Henry doesn't make that perfect run, understand that these guys are human.
Yeah, and I think that's the big part of this, Chris, is, I use the phrase that these guys live and breathe and bleed just like
absolutely,
we do.
Absolutely, man.
I mean, they all have things that they go through, and I can't imagine being a player in that game on the sideline witnessing this. The NFL, in my opinion, made the right decision postponing the game.
They did, absolutely.
Because it's bigger than that. And I know there's seating things and there's stuff they're going to have to figure out. But they can figure that out. So kind of put yourself back on the sideline of what you would feel in that moment. And if they came to you and they said, Chris, do you want to play or what do you feel? Because I feel like a majority of those players said, hey, I'm not in the right headspace to go play.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it's not just about being in the right headspace. That's a great observation. That is awesome. But I just think that football is irrelevant at the time. We're talking about a football game and a guy that's fighting for his life. And when you watch when Hamlin fell, I mean, his heart stopped. You're talking about a guy's heart who stopped on the field. So when you talk about playing a football, scoring a touchdown, and trying to win the AFC South or whatever, all of that stuff is irrelevant because there's a life at stake. And I want to kind of give an illustration, not illustration, but how I coach different. I coach at Montgomery Bell Academy, and sometimes we have that old mentality that you got to be tough, you got to get up and all this stuff. I remember, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, I was coaching in a football game, and one of my players got a concussion. His name is Austin Roth. And in my mind, I'm like, well, you got to be tough, and you got to be this, you got to get back in the game. So he got back in the game, and one of the other receivers said, Coach, he doesn't know where he's at. I'm like, oh, he's okay. He just caught a pass. But then coming to find out, after he got diagnosed, he had a third-degree concussion. And I stepped back with tears in my eyes because I could have hurt that kid because of that old-school mentality. And when I looked at that situation, it made me evaluate myself. That is my own agenda of winning the game better than making sure this kid's safety is okay? And I sat there that night, and this is not just being Mr. Emotional Guy or just saying it because this situation happened, but I changed my coaching habit to that, you know what? Yes, I want to win a championship. Yes, I want to win, you know, all kind of state championship, but I'm not going to do it to hurt somebody else's kid, and I'll never, ever do that again.
We've got Titans, former Titans wide receiver with us, Chris Sanders, on the line. Chris, yes. You touched on, you know, how you coach young men who want to play yes. football, and their dream is to
Absolutely.
Go play in the NFL someday. And I'm sure a lot of them probably, whether they saw it on social media, whether they were watching
right.
the game, how do you address this with young, you Oof. Know, football players who have a dream of being in the NFL someday?
Yeah, I mean, you got to really talk to them and really be upfront with them that, you know, that you're taking a risk every time you're stepping on the field. You're taking a risk when you get into the NFL. And, you know, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was when the COVID came out, and my son CJ, who played for Notre Dame and SMU, that had a chance to go pro, and he didn't get drafted, and he cried and cried because of the situation that happened. But I was just talking to a friend yesterday, and I said this. I said, I'm so glad that he didn't get drafted. And the reason why I'm so glad he didn't get drafted, because situations like this, we understand that it's a violent game and you have the possibility of getting hurt. But at the end of the day, you got to explain to him, yes, you have a dream. Yes, you have all these things. But the NFL is what you do. It's not what you are. Because what happens is after football, your life begins. You still have a chance to become a father, become a great citizen in this world, a great person in this world. Football is a job. It's a game. But your livelihood is becoming a father and becoming a great person that God's called you to be.
We continue to update you on the DeMar Hamlin situation as soon as we have more news on it. But the Tennessee Titans will play for the AFC South in Week 18 in Jacksonville on Sunday, Chris.
Yes.
Mike Vrabel named Josh Dobbs the starter this week. And with a healthy defense, hopefully with guys with a little extra rest coming back, what sort of chance do you give this Titans team to face this Jags team that is on a hot streak right now, and then also they do have that home field advantage?
I think they got a great chance. And the reason why I say they got a great chance, because if you look at the last game when they played the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they lost, they had 4 turnovers. So if they create the turnovers and don't turn over the ball, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. Now, you know, if you look at the last couple of weeks that the Titans that they played, they weren't playing with any confidence. They weren't playing with a sense of urgency. But if you look at after the game, even though they lost to the Cowboys, there's a different attitude in there because of the quarterback situation. I understand Dobbs hasn't had real action. I think it was in 2020 or 2021 where he was 4 for 5 for 2 yards. But it gives you that security blanket that he knows what to do. He understands the defense. He understands, you know, if the safety blitz or cover 2 or cover 3, and knows where to put the ball at, as opposed to going into the game. And I say this respectful with Willis, that not actually being there yet. I understand that that Dobbs is not a world beater, but I think that he gives you a better chance to win. Why? Because he's going to protect the football and make the right decision to put the Titans in a position to win the AFC South.
Chris Sanders is with us.
Yes, sir.
So I got real quick. I noticed, you know, you do a lot of motivational videos and stuff.
Yes.
Do you have a Jags jersey? Is that a Jags jersey hanging behind you? When
Chris?
Did you play for the Jags?
Yeah. Yes. I got to ease into that.
what is this, Chris?
Okay. Here's what it was. When I got cut from the Titans, I went to Jacksonville Jaguars because they were going to sign me. So when I went into the stadium, there was an 81 jersey that said Sanders on it, and they gave it to me. So I kept it, you know, for a souvenir because how bad I hate the Jaguars. That's not good. Is that not good enough?
I don't know if I buy that.
I definitely don't buy it, Chris.
That's kind of on the same level as how you pick games, to be honest with you, for silly underdogs. So
hey, before we go, could you let the listeners know who's winning Silly Dog? Who won Silly Dog Underpick?
Yeah,
You don't even know
the name of the competition.
No. We need energy here. I mean, you got to tell them who won.
Yeah, the world champion is Chris Sanders.
Take the victory lap, Chris.
that is the champion, Chris Sanders. And congratulations on that,
man. Thank you so much, my friend. Hey, before I get ready to go, I want to say this. You know, I know the listeners are listening and all this, but I want you to take this day to tell the person that the most important people in your life how much you love them. So I want to tell 102.5, the game, all the family that I work with every day. I love D-Mace. I love you. I love Caroline. I love all the people. So take this day to tell your loved ones how much you love them. And even if you're mad at somebody, like your father or your mother, I don't care what it is, put that stuff in the back, because you never know when that person is going to leave this earth. So the situation we saw with Hamlin, don't let it get to a dire situation to tell the person that you love them. Look them in the face every day and tell them how much you love them. So take this day to do that.
Amen to that, Chris. Well said.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey, Thanks, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, man, love you guys. Appreciate you too.
Love you, Chris. Bye.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program and giving his thoughts on things. I knew that was a good idea. That's why, he brings...
Pulling out some heartstrings this morning,
he does,
Chris.
He does, but he tells it like it is, and I love that. Coming up next, we'll update you on Damar Hamlin and what the latest is with that. The Bills released a statement overnight. So we will get to that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Chase McKay and Michelle Knezovic here with you. Nick Kieser, wanting to groove. Like it.
I'm grooving.
Predators in action tonight against Montreal. But the big story is Damar Hamlin and the situation last night, the game between Cincinnati and Buffalo was postponed after, they were still in the first quarter, 7-3, yeah. Cincinnati leading, but a scary situation where Damar Hamlin goes and makes a tackle on T. Higgins, Bengals wide receiver, gets up and then immediately falls back down. The Bills released a statement last night, early in the morning, and said, quote, "Our thoughts are with Damar," or this is the NFL, I should say, our thoughts are with Damar and the Buffalo Bills. We'll provide more information as it becomes available. The NFL has been in constant communication with the NFL Players Association, which is in agreement with postponing the game. The Bills statement said as follows, Damar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest following a hit in the Buffalo Bills game versus the Cincinnati Bengals. His heartbeat was restored on the field, and he was transferred to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He is currently sedated and listed in critical condition. And that's really the latest update we have. I know there's been some that his vitals are returning to normal, but he's still sedated to help him through this. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. Don't pretend to be one. But the speculation is the impact that he took to the chest is what caused that. But just a really, really scary situation, and you know, as we've been saying all show long, Michelle, there's no playbook on how to handle that. You know, I thought the NFL did the right thing postponing the game. I know it took them a little while to get there, but I agree that you need to have conversations, see what's going on, let it play out a little bit. I mean, you know, you do have a stadium full of people, the game had been going on, and you know, you just need to see. And ultimately they got to the point where it was like, you know, these guys don't need to go back out there. They're not in the right headspace. That's a danger to them. Let's just call it, and then we'll figure it out when the time is right to figure it out. And there has been no discussion of a timeline of when they're going to resume the game. A lot of the Bills went back to Buffalo last night. Some remained behind to be with Damar, but I think the NFL has made the right call here, and the standings and those things, they'll figure it out. They know how – they can figure it out.
Well, and we talked about this earlier. That is just the last thing that the Bengals and the Bills are worried about right now. And we discussed the whole broadcast crew, and, you know, there's no playbook for something when it happens. And then, you know, kudos to the crew who had to essentially stretch for an hour where no new information was happening. They still didn't know if the game was going to be canceled. I am seeing that his agent made a statement, said, "Please continue to pray for DeMar and his family. We currently have no update at this time. We'll ask you to keep the family in your prayers." We talked about this. There probably will be no update. You know, we kind of just have to sit back and wait for more new news. As soon as we have more new news, we will, you know, let everybody know. But, you know, what I thought was really great last night was it was a moment on the field when both teams circled around DeMar Hamlin. And, you know, when he was going through a moment like that, unconscious, fighting for his life, that's just so private and for the entire world to be able to see it. But then all of the players almost create a wall around him was such a statement because, you know, they're probably all going through such an emotional, traumatic experience looking at him right there, but also protecting him from everyone seeing what he is going through right now, because that's just so private and personal, and his family and friends and anybody watching. But, you know, that I thought that was a pretty big statement by all the players out there.
Yeah, I did too. And, you know, I think the sound bite that we keep going back to that I think is so powerful is Ryan Clark from ESPN with Scott Van Pelt last night. Ryan actually went through a medical situation as a player that was different. And actually, I was reading up on this because I, you know, unfortunately had forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. But it was in Denver, and he, for the rest of his career, he was inactive when they played in Denver, because of how the higher elevation would affect his situation. But Ryan Clark discussed DeMar Hamlin last night with Scott Van Pelt.
What words can we even put to this? What would you share?
I think the first thing, this is about DeMar Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a young man at 24 years old that was living his dream, that a few hours ago was getting ready to play the biggest game of his NFL career, and there's probably nowhere else in the world he wanted to be. And now he fights for his life. And when DeMar Hamlin falls to the turf, and when you see the medical staff rush to the field and both teams are on the field, you realize this isn't normal. You realize this isn't just football. And so many times in this game, and in our job as well, we use the cliches, you know, I'm ready to die for this. I'm willing to give my life for this. It's time to go to war. And I think sometimes we use those things so much, we forget that part of living this dream is putting your life at risk. And tonight, you know, we got to see a side of football that is extremely ugly, a side of football that no one ever wants to see, mm-hmm. or never wants to admit exists. When you see both teams on the field crying in that way, your first thought is DeMar Hamlin.
Yep.
The second thought is his family. And this isn't about a football player, right? This is about a human. This is about a brother. This is about a son. This is about a friend. This is about someone who is loved by so many that you have to watch go through this. I dealt with this before. And I watched my teammates for days come to my hospital bed and just cry. I had them call me and tell me that they didn't think I was going to make it. And now this team has to deal with that, and they have no answers. Mm-hmm. And so the next time I think that we get upset at our favorite fantasy player or we're upset that the guy on our team doesn't make the play and we're saying he's worthless and we're saying you get to make all this money, we should remember that these men are putting their lives on the line to live their dream. And tonight, DeMar Hamlin's dream became a nightmare for not only himself, but his family and his entire team.
Ryan Clark last night with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN discussing this situation. And it just, you know, I think the thing that's unfortunate, and I believe we're all guilty of this, is it takes a moment like this to put things in perspective. You know, Chris Sanders just said it best of, you know, tell somebody, you know, what you feel about him and how you care and all of that. And it's like we unfortunately have to – I try and do that on a daily basis. I try and tell people, you know, hey, I appreciate him and love him and all that. But, you know, we're not all great at it. We're not all perfect. And you know, it takes tragedy sometimes to do that. And he's right. And, you know, the charity that DeMar Hamlin had started and his goal was $2,500 is now over $3 million.
Which is incredible. And it's a charity giving toys to little kids in Buffalo just during the holiday times. I mean, I hope, you know, he only is second year out of Pitt, played with Kenny Pickett. I already saw Kenny Pickett tweet for him. Played there, now is with Buffalo, second year rookie. You know, you hope maybe some money can be raised for his family as well, because, you know, he's still a rookie in the league. And I'm just kind of seeing on Twitter now that it looks like, you know, the Colts are postponing their media availability today out of respect for DeMar Hamlin. I would imagine that we might see that with some more NFL teams around the league right now. It looks like the Titans one got switched to just Vrabel today at the podium and then open locker room.
Yeah, well, Dobbs is going to speak. But yeah, I was wondering if Mike would speak today.
Yeah.
And I you know, he is a guy that played for so long. You know, he's been around, you know, coached for so long now. I mean, I would be, you know, he's one of those people that's like, okay, I want to hear from Mike Vrabel. I would love to hear his perspective.
Well, and I've covered his press conferences for pretty much since the time I started here at the station, about a year and a half now. And he always does make it a point to say how violent and how much these players put their bodies on the line week after week. He always makes a point to say that and how he appreciates their toughness and what they put their bodies through when they put themselves on the field every single Sunday. And, you know, I agree, Chase, you know, he'll have something to say about this situation, but he says it week to week about, you know, how dangerous this sport is. And it is important to not forget that. And unfortunately, it does take a situation for us all to, you know, take a step back and kind of look at it for what it is. We actually had a texter this morning text in and said that this injury can be common in lacrosse. And they added a specific pad to the chest area that they put in their uniform to help try and avoid things. And some more people on the text line said, you know, you think of a pitcher, right?
Yeah, baseball.
Line drive right there, and they have those. My brother was a pitcher in one of his friends. That happened to him. A line drive right to the chest. Fortunately, you know, he didn't have something like this happen, but they've created, you know, pads that can be worn under your jerseys for situations like that.
Well, I mean, think about, you know, I've heard stories of people in car accidents that the airbag hits them right there, and it just hits that impact on your chest. But, again, we'll continue to keep you updated on DeMar Hamlin and his situation, as there's not really any new news, but just, again, a scary situation. David Poyle, Predators general manager, was on with Robbie and Rexford earlier this morning, and he was in a similar situation with the Predators many, many years ago. We'll hear from him coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sportsbook in Las Vegas. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic with you. David Poyle now joins the Robbie and Rex Road. It'll be every Tuesday at 8:30. He was on a little earlier today. He, you know, of course, was asked about being a general manager in a situation like this with DeMar Hamlin. And it, you know, Robbie and Joe knew he was he was the Predators GM when in 2005, it was November 21st, 2005, the Predators were in Detroit taking on the Red Wings. And Yuri Fisher, a player for Detroit, now in the front office with Detroit, collapsed on the bench, had gone into cardiac arrest. He was unconscious for like 5-6 minutes, something like that. He was resuscitated by CPR and then taken to the hospital. They ended up postponing the game to another date and then played the full 60 of the game. The Predators, when they resume, had a 1-0 lead in that one. But David Poyle early this morning recalled going through that as a GM when Yuri Fisher collapsed.
That was a scary situation for sure. You know, immediately, I don't think anybody knew exactly what what happened, because the player was just sitting on the bench and he collapsed, and we didn't know whether it was just something from dehydration or he fainted. So I went right downstairs to the officials and went into the Detroit room with their general manager and their coach, and we went and we had a little bit of a talk. And initially, you know, everybody thought, well, this was just a situation that he just needed a little bit of time as the doctors worked on him. And then basically the doctors thought it was a lot worse, and they said it's time to go, let's go to the hospital. They rushed into the hospital. And then I'm just being honest here. The initial thought was, okay, well, the game must go on type of thing. But a few minutes later, the players on the Detroit team just came to their coach and just said, we that's not right. We just can't play. And obviously that was the right decision to make. So scary situation for sure. But I guess the good news in these situations, and I'm sure the NFL is the same as the NHL, is that our doctors are fantastic, and they seem to get right to it right away. We all have these resources set up with not only the medical crew that's on hand, emergency crews, your own doctors are always there, and then the affiliation with a hospital that is very nearby. Like for us, we have we work with Vanderbilt, and our doctors, we would have had all the resources to do the same thing here if that type of thing happened in Nashville.
That is David Poile recalling Uri Fisher in that situation, a similar situation. And, you know, I referenced earlier to Rich Peverly, who was, once a member of the Predators, was with the Dallas Stars. He collapsed on the bench with a similar situation. Unfortunately, it's happened before in a game. And it's, it's something that, David said it right there. It's something you don't prepare for, and you have conversations and ultimately figure it out and come to the conclusion. Luckily, Uri Fisher was okay. Rich Peverly was okay. They never played again. Mm-hmm. But, they went on living their lives and are now still involved in things with hockey. But, I keep using that phrase of there's no playbook. There's no right or wrong way to do it. You just kind of have to assess the situation in the moment. And I think that the NFL did that last night. Mm-hmm. I would say today we do probably find out what is going to happen with the game, if they're going to try and play it or if they're going to call it a tie or what they're going to do. I mean, I know there are standing implications for it, but
yeah,
they're going to figure that part out, call it a no contest. Because the tough part is you're at week 18. So, they would almost have to play tonight, to be able to, if they were going to resume it. But I don't see that happening.
Well, and, on Twitter, there's just statements are coming out. The NFL Referees Association made a statement that on behalf of the NFL officials working with the Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals game last night, we offer our thoughts, prayers, and speedy recovery for DeMar. Additionally, we commend the emergency medical staff and doctors who quickly responded on the field to DeMar's serious health issue. Like the players and coaches, our officials fully support the suspension of this game, as all the attention needed to be focused on DeMar's health. Also, another thing I saw on Twitter too, this is not official or anything like that, but just people, of course, offering up, their thoughts and stuff. And I saw a couple tweets saying, they should face each other on a neutral site, maybe in Pittsburgh, halfway between both cities or something like that, whenever they want to replay the game or something. That's where he's from. He played there. But I mean, who knows what they will do? And like you said, a decision does have to be made fairly quickly, and with the players all in different locations right now too. Some players did go back to Buffalo, some stayed in Cincinnati. Obviously the Bengals are in Cincinnati, but also too, just the mental aspect. I know that we're talking about, this is week 18, and we may hear something today from the league on what they plan to do moving forward, but you talk about the trauma, and I really hope that coaches and just people within both of these organizations, people within all NFL organizations, take a minute just to have a conversation with all of the players based on just their mental health, and, having somebody talk you through that, because that's something that nobody should have to experience. First off, him getting hurt like that, and then also, having to watch it right there. I mean, we're watching right now on ESPN, the TV's up, but just seeing some of the reactions from the Buffalo Bills players, it's really is heartbreaking, crying, seeing a friend, a teammate, really anybody in that state. But you just hope that, we talked about T. Higgins, he was the one who collided with DeMar You talk about his mental health, because a player never wants to see another player get hurt when they hit them, right? You know, you're in the game mode. You want to do everything to win. You want to get a nice tackle and stuff, and you want to sack the quarterback or something. But you never cheer when somebody's injured or something like that. So you feel for all the players who also experience that, seeing their friend, their teammate, their opponent, and really everybody around the entire NFL.
Yeah, and you know, the outpouring of tweets. I saw Josh Allen's last night, please pray for our brother, and you know, others are tweeting out, you know, things, and the Bills have, you know, had issued a statement and everything. But it just, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, praying for DeMar. They're showing that on First Take right now. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine what they're – I mean, look, it's affected me, and I'm just, you know, radio host.
So. Yeah, and you watch it on TV, and we weren't there, right? So you think about that, and then you think about, too, right, it's week 18, and I'm going to be heading over to the Tennessee Titans press conference today, but I have a feeling a majority of it, majority of the questions will be asked about this, especially to all the players. I know that there are some guys who played for Pitt. Did Rashad Weaver play for Pitt?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, was he there at the same time? You know, was he a teammate of his? So, you know, you look at all those different things. It affects so many more people, too. And the football world is small. You know, so many people could have known him to some extent, too, and are affected mentally and emotionally about this situation.
Yeah, Weaver, they would have been teammates because they've both been in the league 2 years. So.
Yeah, so I mean, Rashad Weaver was his teammate. I mean, we have Pat Narduzzi on our show. Mm-hmm. Joe covered Pat Narduzzi, who's now the head coach at Pitt, when he was at Michigan State. And that was one of the first things I said to Joe this morning, like, oh my gosh, he was his coach. And he was like, yeah, I already sent him a text. Like, it's so many other aspects too of people watching it and thinking, oh my gosh, that's my friend. That was my teammate, seeing it on TV.
615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to Tim. He wants to weigh in. Tim, welcome in.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Tim.
I just had a quick question. Thinking about what happened last night and the tragedy that it is, and the, you know, the problem with CTEs and concussion protocols, torn ACLs, broken fingers, broken legs. At some point, is there a tipping point where the entertainment value is outweighed by the human, you know, toll that it takes?
That's a good question, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tim.
Appreciate the call. Look, I think the tipping point would be if the players decide they don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. And that's really the best way I know to word that. That because the owners can have their thoughts and the league can have their thoughts, but if the players are all of a sudden like, you know what, I don't want to play this game anymore, it's too dangerous, then that's when football goes away. But I don't foresee that happening, you know, in the near future. It's like we've been talking about. Chris Sanders mentioned it too. It's like, we know. And when we think about it and we worry about it, that's when we don't play anymore. And, you know, D-Mace has told, you know, the story of not that he was worried about getting hurt. It's just mentally he wasn't in it anymore. And that's when he knew it was time to walk away. And I think that that's where a lot of guys go, that it's like you don't overthink it. You know, I used the Dale Earnhardt reference earlier with, you know, watching that and the 2001 Daytona 500. And there was a long time, and Dale was one of them, race car drivers didn't go to each other's funerals because it reminded them of what could happen. And it was just kind of like an unwritten code that now they went to Dale's, but it was one of those things that it's just kind of like, you know, every time you crawl in that race car, and NASCAR has done such a great job since that day of making these cars safer. But a few years ago, you know, Ryan Newman's in a crash. It's not looking good. It's looking like, you know, are we about to have that situation again? It had been 20 years since a NASCAR driver had died. 2 days later, he's walking out with his daughters from the hospital. And that just shows you where those cars have gone. But they know. They know the risks. It's a dangerous sport, just like the football players, you know, they know the risk too.
Well, and I think that was a good point from Tim, and you said it perfectly, Chase, right? It's these are adult men getting out on the field, and it is a decision that they are making. But when D-May said, you know, I knew that I wasn't I wasn't in it anymore. I didn't want to put my body on the line, right? That is the decision, and that's when it loses the entertainment value. And unfortunately, we have a lot of sports like that. UFC, fighting, a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah.
Heading to the text line really quick, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think this is an important note to mention. Ron texting in, he said, this is why it is important for people to learn CPR for everyone. You never know when you might need it, when you could save a life. And actually, that was one thing I thought of this morning on, you know, that would be a great thing to do, you know, get CPR trained. And just you never know when you may need something, and it's everybody being better. But it's just a horrific situation, you know, as a whole. And I think it is important to, you know, just commend the medical staff, because, you know, going out there, you are trained for something like that. But then to be in the moment of having to perform CPR, then they said it was 9 minutes long, you know, to get him able to then transport him to the hospital. Really amazing job by them. And all we can do is, you know, hope for the best now, and thoughts and prayers to him and his family.
Coming up next, we will get back into the Titans. Mike Vrabel going to speak today at noon. You'll be able to hear that right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But Josh Dobbs named the starter. Can he command this offense? We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I think it's a surprise that he did it so early. I mean, he said that he talked to both guys and he wanted to, you know, do that first. But a lot of times you see coaches kind of keep it under the vest, but he came out with it immediately. And it's something that we pretty much knew was going to happen. The fact of the matter is the offense is more efficient with Josh Dobbs out there. He's decisive, as Mike Vrabel said, you know, he's working through his progressions, and it just, you know, the passing game is better with Dobbs right now.
That's Teron Davenport yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle here with you. That show coming up next, as they will, of course, keep you updated on DeMar Hamlin and give their thoughts on the situation. You know, Willie was on Robbie and Rexor this morning. He was on the broadcast with the Uri Fisher situation. D-Mace obviously played in the league a long time, so looking forward to all three of their thoughts on this, plus the Titans moving forward. I know DeMar Hamlin's family has released a statement.
Yeah, so they've released a statement, quote, on behalf of our family, we want to express sincere gratitude and love for the support shown to DeMar during this challenging time. We deeply are moved by the prayers, kind words, and donations from fans around the country. We also want to acknowledge the dedicated first responders and healthcare professionals at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center who have provided exceptional care to DeMar. We feel blessed to be a part of the Buffalo Bills organization, have their support. We also want to thank Coach Taylor and the Bengals for everything they've done. Your generosity and compassion means the world to us. Keep DeMar in your prayers. We will release updates as soon as we have them.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it'll be a little bit before, you know, because that's one of those things that the family has a say in it, and then the league corresponding with them on when to release stuff. But thoughts and prayers continue for him, for sure. But with the Titans, Mike Vrabel did name Josh Dobbs as the starter yesterday. You know, we talked about it, Michelle, of how much will the offense click more having Derrick Henry in the backfield. And, you know, Derrick gets a week off, a week of rest, which I think is a good thing because he's been so good against Jacksonville in his career. And, you know, having him a little bit more fresh than, you know, he would have been, I think is going to be big, you know, with Dobbs getting some time, some reps with Derek, getting some time, you know, to study more. That's gonna be good. But, you know, can Josh Dobbs command this offense and be that field general that you're looking for going into this week with now his second career start?
Well, and we saw how far ahead of he was of Malik Willis just being in this building for 8 days. Now I think he's been there a little over 16 days, so a little over 2 weeks. And, you know, he already looked very comfortable out there being able to command the offense. So, you know, I think it definitely takes a step forward. I also mentioned this yesterday that after the Thursday night football game with Dallas in the locker room, I just felt from the players, they didn't seem as discouraged as they were after the other losses leading up to this one. It's almost as if they felt, you know, a sense of, and I'm not trying to say how they felt, but by asking them questions, like there was some sort of hope in Josh Dobbs because they realized, okay, he can run our offense. We're able to get a lot more things going. But what I turn to and I look at for this game, which I think is even more important, I think if Josh Dobbs just, you know, is able to run the offense and not have turnovers, right? He's also going to have Derrick Henry in the backfield with him. But I look at this defense and what this defense was during the first Jacksonville game. You had a injured Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry didn't play. You had an injured Christian Fulton. Amani Hooker was out and David Long Jr. was also injured. So David Long Jr. I think is going to be a big guy to look out for this week because he potentially could come off IR. But if we see this defense finally look a little bit more connected and a little bit more healthier like they did look at the beginning of the season. I mentioned mm-hmm. the stat yesterday. They were recording for a six-game streak. They had three sacks and an interception per game. They had done that 6 games in a row and haven't been able to do that since that Green Bay game. But if we could see this defense and actually be able to affect Trevor Lawrence and affect the quarterback, I think that, you know, the offense will be able to feed off of that.
Yep.
And from what we've seen from Josh Dobbs, him utilizing Treylon Burks, you know, Robert Woods, he just can't have the drops. If it touches your hands, he needs to catch the ball. Chika Conquo, and then also, I mean, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and well, and here's the thing for Derrick Henry. You know, I think we always look at Jacksonville because he's had some big games against Jacksonville. Actually, of the AFC South, because you play your division opponents twice, so obviously he's going to have more stats against those teams. In rushing yards, they're third of how many he's had in his career with 1,264. But he's had 15 touchdowns. That's the most. Houston's the most yards with 1,380. But then second in average yards per carry with 5.5. That, of course, to Houston was 6.13. But he's going to be the catalyst. And I think Doug Peterson knows that. But that's what you have to do. And the thing that I want to see happen, and this is where, you know, I hope, you know, Dobbs is getting more on the same page with Treylon Burks and Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Play action is going to be key. Because if Derek can get established and get the run going, then you can start using play action and going to the air more. You don't have to go for the home run ball. They tried a couple times. You know, mm-hmm. Racy McMath is certainly that guy. But you don't necessarily have to do that. Just get in a rhythm and get a consistent passing game going through play action. And I think they have a chance to win. And like you said, the defense has to make their plays too. And if they can rattle Trevor Lawrence just a little bit, then that's going to bode well.
Well, keep feeding Derrick Henry. I mean, the last time he spoke to the media, or even the last couple times, I mean, you can hear the frustration in his voice. And he's going to be a mad Derrick Henry who wants to make the playoffs too. So you keep feeding him. If he can have a monster game, of course he's going to be, you know, the biggest point of emphasis on offense. I'm sure the Jags are going to be all over him, but you know, if he could break, you know, one or two big runs, could put you in a really good position to win this game, go to the playoffs, and then anything can happen in the playoffs. I think that they could beat the Ravens. They did go head-to-head with the Chargers. I think that'll be a taller task, but, you know, this game, and then you make the playoffs, which is a really hard thing to do in the NFL.
Yeah, and so we will see. Caroline, Willie, and D-Banks, so of course we'll discuss that even further coming up next. Two shows in the books, Michelle.
Two down, Chaser. Nick.
Yeah, good job, Nick. Do we have our outro song yet? We got to work on that.
I'm sorry. I don't have that for you yet.
You know what?
That's okay. I forgive you, Nick.
It's okay.
I'm putting some good thought into it.
Yeah, see, he doesn't want to make a rash decision.
It and tell you what to do. It's fine.
That's usually how it goes here anyway. with anything, come on.
Well, I am the suit.
At the end of the day, you are both of our bosses, so.
It's true. Glad somebody recognizes
get
that.
A JT song, please, or something.
There's certain people that want my – anyway. coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're back at it tomorrow starting at 9. We'll be joined by a Preds player at 9:30 as they take on Montreal later on tonight. But stick around. More coming with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.